AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Have you determined which children of yours you're going to leave to the wilderness? Because, for God's sakes, people, we were supposed to have a storm about 12 hours ago. Did you survive?
Did you have any trouble getting here through all the snow there, Matt?
The dogs, I got the sled dog team outside. They have gotten me here. Thank goodness.
They pulled you through on the pavement.
Yeah, it was actually, we got up to 60 on the highway. Oh, God. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. My wife and Chad upstairs both said the same thing, and I think they are spot on with this. The fear that the school districts, I don't blame the school districts for shutting down today, because every one of them shut down. The fear of what happened the last major storm where we ended up getting, we were on the high end of the snow totals. Kids did not get home from school in St. Paul till about 8 or 9. My own child didn't get home until 6, which was, 2 hours later than usual because of that freak storm. And I get it. People were freaked out. But I want to say, and I know you guys don't like it when I rail on these local weather people. I get it. I understand. But on Saturday, I was getting ready to run around. We went over to Roosevelt High School in Minneapolis. Shout out to the Roosevelt, the Teddies over there. Nice to be over. Good old school gym. I like that place. So we're at Roosevelt and watched the Hopkins St. Louis Park girls basketball game with the kids, because the kids are in the Hopkins School District. And as we left, all of a sudden, weather alerts, said, oh, well, we're going to get some snow. But also, if you looked at the local news guys were starting to report about an Armageddon. Every house in the metro was going to have a snow blower aimed at its front door, chucking 15 feet of snow at it. And I'm like, what in the world? When did all of a sudden this storm just escalate? And don't get me wrong, it wasn't as if the national people weren't saying we weren't going to get snow. Of course, they were saying they weren't going to get snow. But every national weather forecast was saying pretty much the same thing. Initially rain, eventually changing over to snow today. Some intense snow this afternoon into the evening hours. Anywhere between 4 and 10 inches or so of snow. That's what they were forecasting. But the local guys were presenting a very different weather forecast. And this was all of them. All of them were presenting a very different weather forecast, where it got towards Sunday afternoon before the Oscars. It was up into the, we're looking at 1 to 1.5 feet of snow in the metro area. I mean, that's what they were saying. They were saying, we're going to get at least 8 inches on Monday, another, 5 to 7 inches on Monday night. So, it's going to get bad. It's not going to start in the late afternoon. They were saying it was going to start first thing in the morning. It's going to be a mess all day. And it was, as we were watching the Oscars, all of a sudden the KSTP scroll went up there, starting to talk about closings. And I'm like, wow, they really are going to close these schools the day beforehand. And it just kept going and going. And the minute all of a sudden all these metro area schools started canceling out school for today, for the first time, a level of sanity and rationality returned to the local weather people. Because all of a sudden their weather forecasts went from doom and gloom, pick whatever slow-moving squirrels in your neighborhood you can eat first, that sort of thing, to a, hey, whoa, at worst, if you're in the worst area, you might get more than 1 foot of snow. But most people are going to see somewhere around 8 inches. That's when the first time you started seeing some level of, maybe we shouldn't be throwing out all the we're doomed rhetoric going on out there. Now, was it that the forecast changed? Well, as I said, the national forecast was always been pretty consistent. And just reading off, this is the National Weather Service right now, 2 to 4 inches possible today. It finally has started snowing now. 3 to 5 inches possible tonight, which if I'm in the worst zone, I'm looking at 9 inches total, not 1 foot, not 1.5 feet. At the worst, they're forecasting 9 inches, 5 inches would be on the low end. And considering it was 37 degrees, I'm no science whiz, But 37 seems larger than 32, correct?
Last time I did the math. Yeah, I have to go, too, with the National Weather Service. I don't think I ever saw them forecast more than, like, 10 inches.
At most. And they were saying you know, areas of heaviest in a certain, in some areas at a foot, maybe.
They were never saying, 12 to 18 inches.
And for the metro area, we're all doomed, you know. Yeah. Can you whittle a spear off your saplings in your backyard? Because you're going to have to fight off the neighbors for whatever food you have left. Because that's what's coming. I don't know if it was they downgraded. Well, I don't think it's downgraded. I don't know if it was it the weekend weather people? Because let's face it, these TV guys, that Sunday guy, especially if you were on another network that wasn't airing the Oscars, you know, you're sending in the D squad, I'm guessing. And so this is their one big moment. I don't know if that's what happened. But my kids that my two oldest kids, one goes to high school, one goes to junior high. Their bus is home now. There is no freaking reason on the planet they should have missed school today. There is none. And I don't blame the schools because, once again, the schools were going off what the weather people were saying here. But now tomorrow, you've taken away a snow day, which is going to lead. I mean, say this does hold on till later tomorrow. These school districts can't afford to take 5-6 snow days a year. They have a tight schedule. So what do they do? Well, that day they might have wanted to have a late start, but because we gave kids basically an off day for no freaking reason. And don't get me wrong. You go up towards St. Cloud. You go out to the west towards Hutchinson's. You head north from there. They've had some bad snow. It's been nuts up on 94 up in that area. I am talking about the metro area. It's just started snowing. I understand you might not like me bashing on these weather guys, but let's just be honest that the weather guys, you know, sometimes they deserve to get bashed on because they do boneheaded things. And it, like I said, the school started closing, they realized, there are some consequences for our actions here that basically. That's when all of a sudden they started kind of coming back to reality and talking on a little bit more of a rational stance. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I will repeat once again. This is coming from the National Weather Service. Rain and snow becoming all snow after 5. Why did you do this, guys? Like I said, national people, all the Weather Channel, National Weather Service, AccuWeather, they all had the same thing. They weren't saying this was going to be big. They sure didn't think this was going to hit till this afternoon. This was all local people that were out there trying to scare the living daylights out of the locals, and that's all it was. Snow after 5 p.m., daytime snow accumulations 2 to 4 possible. Snow, patchy, blowing snow before 8 p.m., low around 27, breezy with an east wind at 15 to 20 miles an hour, gusts as high as 30. If you're in the open areas, this little bit of snow, that's going to be a good of a problem. I think you can. This is not about not saying something. This is about, you know, scaring the living daylights out of people. So 3 to 5 inches possible, less than an inch tomorrow. Snow likely before 10 a.m., though, but that's going to be patchy snow. Less than a half an inch of snow tomorrow. By 10, it's going to be pretty much all moved out of the metro area. So at most you're going to have is 9 inches, probably 5 to 9 inches, most of it before 8 o'clock tonight. So you should be able to get out and shovel your driveway tonight. And you're not saying you're not going to have some snow by morning, but most of it should be up. So there you go. It's called not scaring the living daylights out of people. 952-946-6205. It should mention they have arrested the guy that did steal Frances McDormand's Oscar. Did you hear about this, Brett?
I did not hear about that. Wow.
Apparently she was at the governor's – was it the governor's ball? Yep, she was at the governor's ball Sunday. They were at the place where they put the inscription on it because none of the ones have inscriptions on them because obviously that would kind of give it away. So but the governor's ball, you can go in there and they will inscribe your Oscar with, you know, best actress in this case, for her, for 3 Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri, which, by the way, a fantastic film, absolutely deserved it. She was very good in that film. But as she was having it, she basically had it engraved. And as the engraving was just finished, the Oscar disappeared. And here's where it gets a little bit weird. The photographer for Wolfgang Puck, the chef, was the guy who caught this guy. He was now, and if you're wondering what in the world, you know, that's all about, he's basically, Wolfgang Puck does all the food for the Governor's Ball. So he has a photographer that comes in and they do the you know, pretty pictures of it so he can advertise on his websites and stuff. You know, he was there and he saw it. And he said he must have been a bit of a movie fan because he did sort of say that none of this seems to make any sense. Why does this guy have this the Best Actress Oscar? He apparently, when he confronted the guy just gave him the Oscar and took off. But they have indeed arrested the guy now that did take it. Some 47-year-old guy. Did you watch any of the Oscars last night?
I watched about the last hour of it, so when they were starting to get to the bigger awards, but the beginning parts.
That when they gave away the jet ski, nice.
I didn't see that part. I just saw at the end. I was wondering what's going on.
Was
that
costume? So. The guy from costume design. What had happened at the beginning of the thing? Jimmy Kimmel said, "If we keep these, the shortest speech wins a jet ski." And they did it like, you know, Price is Right. They open up, it's a jet ski, and it's Helen Mirren is back there, you know, kind of doing the showcase, you know, model, you know, for the jet ski. And then they threw in a trip to Lake Havasu City, Arizona, for the shortest speech to try to, as an enticement. And it was funny because it was a running bit because all the people said, that jet ski is sweet, but I have some people to thank, sort of thing. But the guy that did costume design was like 36 seconds off the thing. He gets it. And they had him on the jet ski at the very end. Shape of Water, Best Picture. I like this Oscars because there were so many different movies that were honored. I don't really like it when 14 awards go to the same movie because it just is, you know, it's kind of boring at that point. Shape of Water, Best Picture, Best Actress, Frances McDormand, Three Billboards Outside of Missouri there. Gary Oldman for Darkest Hour. Allison Janney for I, Tonya. Sam Rockwell for Three Billboards. I would say all four of the actors were the odds on favorites to win in each of those categories. Best director, Guillermo del Toro, Shape of Water, which was interesting because did you ever get over to the MIA when they had the Guillermo del Toro exhibit over there for some of his other movies? Fantastic. It was real kind of fun for the kids to watch him win because they became kind of fans of his artwork and stuff from, the movies that he has done. The best animated feature was Coco. The best adapted screenplay, Call Me By Your Name, won that one. Get Out by Jordan Peele won. So those two movies each got one. Very happy to see Blade Runner 2049 get the cinematography. That movie might not be a great film. I think it's enjoyable. It's very enjoyable. It is one of the prettiest damn films I've ever seen shot.
Yeah, when I saw that was nominated, that one had to win.
And then the guy that won it, Roger Deakins, the cameraman there who won that, that's like the first... He'd been nominated so many times. He was like the biggest, always, belle of the ball, you know, always invited but never the winner
the
sort
Buffalo
of thing.
Buffalo Bills of the Oscars.
Exactly. The Minnesota Vikings of the
Oscars.
Well,
that too. Yeah.
But the, he finally won an Oscar, which is good for him. Overall, I thought it was an enjoyable film. I thought, I loved the idea of going over, I was glad that Kimmel did the thing where he went over to the other movie theater and interrupted with the movie stars and brought Gal Gadot and Mark Hamill and Armie Hammer and all these guys in to give them snacks at the movie. Although it was I do appreciate the argument that once again, here's LA, the Hollywood elite looking down. It's like, we're acknowledging you. Look at us. We see you. There you are. Here's some candy that we didn't have to buy to give you. No, we've got buckets of this stuff. They handed tons of us. But I do want a hot dog cannon. Did you see the hot dog cannon? It shoots hot dogs. And it actually does shoot hot dogs. I was a little concerned when they gave it to the stars, Armie Hammer and the other guy, to shoot them. I was a little concerned that, you know, don't point blank range this and do a March Flanders sort of thing. You don't want to do that. You know, you want to kind of aim it high, and they did indeed. But it did shoot hot dogs. That was nice. Although, I mean, Mark Hamill. I mean, frankly, that's the one. I mean, you had Margot Robbie was there. Mark Hamill. If Mark Hamill all of a sudden walked into a movie theater next to me, I mean, that'd be like meeting a Beatle, for goodness sakes. I'd fall on my chair.
You're
I don't know.
Fanboy on that, huh?
I asked John Fugelsang, because Fugelsang's met, he's met Beatles, and he has met now Mark Hamill. And I said, is meeting Mark Hamill like meeting a Beatle? And he said, without a doubt. Absolutely. Same exact thing. So overall, so good thing. Go out. Enjoy the movies. There you go. We've recapped it. I've ripped on the weather, people. I'm going to move on. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. I will say the weather is finally starting to move into the metro area, so anticipate a bit of a longer commute as you head on home. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. See you, hoping for a chance.
Believe it or not, it's time for spring cleaning. Okay, it's a little bit early to call it spring cleaning, but it's your last chance to save huge on carpet cleaning from Zero Res. With their patented powered water, your home will smell fresh and clean and not like a janitor's chemical closet. And this month you can get 3-room Zero Res clean starting at $129. Plus, this month you can still get a great deal when you get your air duct Zero Res clean. Call 952-ZERO-RES or visit ZeroResMN.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Hi, it's Tom inviting you to the Blue State Ball VIP reception on Saturday, March 10th at the Blaisdell. VIP starts at 5:30, where you can meet and take selfies with me, Norman Goldman, and other AM 950 hosts. The reception is a hosted bar with butler passed hors d'oeuvres, great music from Paul Metza, and signed book giveaways. Then stick around for general admission at 7. So come mingle with me, Norman Goldman, and other AM 950 hosts during the Blue State Ball VIP reception. VIP tickets are at am950radio.com. I'll see you at the Blue State Ball.
I've discovered the true test of a vehicle is the road trip. This summer, I bought a new vehicle from Rudy Luther Toyota and immediately took it out on the road to DC and South Carolina. If you drive for 10 hours and you're not tired, that tells you a lot about Toyotas. When you're getting exceptional gas mileage with fewer stops, it tells you a lot about Toyotas. And when you feel safe, even when you're out of your comfort zone, that tells you a lot about Toyotas. It's my highest recommendation. Go to Rudy Luther Toyota and see for yourself at 394 and 169.
This is Gregory Rich from Habitation Furnishing and Design. Whether you love Sunday evenings or you see them as the downward slide into the work week, you could probably use a drink. That's why I'd like to invite you to tune into a new program called Drink in the Style. Beginning Sunday, March 4th at 5 p.m., Drink in the Style will be 1 hour of interior design and small business conversation, all while enjoying cocktails created by a local mixologist. Drink in the Style, starting March 4th, and brought to you by Habitation Furnishing and Design.
Saturdays at 1 p.m., you have a chance at a fresh start, a new beginning. Hi, everybody. This is Freddie Bell, host of New Beginnings. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, spirituality, and even entertainment. Every day is a chance for a fresh start. Join us Saturdays at 1 p.m. for New Beginnings with Freddie Bell on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Once again, you can sponsor the radio station. It's very simple. All you have to do is call us at AM 950, 952-946-8885. That's 952-946-8885. That's the business line. And say, I'd like to sponsor the show. Todd Coled has been sponsoring the show. He, of course, was a listener here in Minnesota who moved to Spain and listens to us online. Hi, Todd. Good evening over there, sir. Good evening. I'm sure you're not having the weather issues we are. But Todd, of course, is a proud sponsor of AM 950, and he has been kind enough to help sponsor the programming here. Like I said, you can too. 952-946-8885. Todd wants to mention the Minnesota March for Our Lives, which is going to be going on Saturday, March 24th, 10 a.m. to noon over at Harry Island. And this is people are sick of this stuff. We're tired of this stuff. Moms Demand Action are saying gun violence needs to end. We've had enough. Thoughts and prayers are not enough to honor the victims of gun violence. We need now is action. On March 24th, students will rally in Washington, D.C. and in local communities across the country to demand action from our leaders. Join students and allies in the March for Our Lives. They fight to America that is free from gun violence. And once again, that's going to be at Harriet Island starting. They basically say it's at 9 o'clock. They want people to start showing up at 9. At 10, they begin the march to the Capitol. And I'll have a program at the Capitol beginning at 11 o'clock. Once again, we encourage marchers to carpool, use Metro Transit if at all possible. It's going to be Saturday, March 24th, 10 a.m. till noon, but they do want people to get there. That's when the march starts, is at 10, so get there a little bit earlier. Thanks, Todd. I do appreciate it. 952-946-6205. John is in Richfield. Thanks for holding, John. Welcome on in.
Yeah, see, Matt, I'd like to talk to you about Trump flying down to West Palm Beach on Friday afternoon and flying back on Saturday, wasting all that taxpayers' money when us little people got to pay extra taxes if we sell a little stock and make the money. And nobody, and none of the talk show shows on Sunday ever said a thing about it.
Well, and they don't. And John, can I say this? I knew exactly this is what Trump was going to be like. The thing which is hilarious, and just to show you the level of hypocrisy and how fractured their morality is, how many Republicans every time, you know, President Obama took a step outside wanted an accountability of how much money that costed every time he did a trip anywhere. And the same people are watching a guy who has spent well over a third of his presidency golfing, how they basically don't care at all about the fact that he is to do all this, the taxpayer money, the golf cart rental, Secret Service having to run around and scout locations constantly at golf courses to prevent him from getting hurt by someone. It is an absolute travesty how much of our taxpayer dollars has been wasted by this president just because he didn't want the job. He thought it was going to be cutting ribbons at malls. And now that he actually has to do the job, he basically is just trying to make it into, you know, some sort of executive exclusive club.
Yep. Absolutely. And one other thing.
What's that?
Did you ever find out where Browns Valley, Minnesota is?
Browns Valley? No, I did not.
Okay. Browns Valley is in the western part of the state, not in the southeast.
Okay.
It's out in the tip, in that hump on the western side part of Minnesota.
Okay.
Sitting right on the South Dakota border. And it sets on the Continental Divide, and there's two lakes, one in the north and one in the south. And the one in the north, Travers Lake, flows into Red River of the north, and Big Stone Lake in the south flows into Minnesota River. So that's where Browns Valley is. I grew up 6 miles east of there.
Sounds lovely. Sounds like a nice area.
Yeah.
I imagine it's is it a tourist mecca?
Not really, but It's Big Stone Lake is getting to be pretty much well known in the last couple of years.
Okay, well, cool. Hey, thanks, John. I appreciate the phone call. I appreciate the time today, and thanks for the clarification on Browns Valley, where that is located at. I thought we did figure out that was located out in the west. I thought we had, but thank you for the clarification. And visit beautiful Browns Valley, Minnesota. David is in San Francisco. Let's take David's call here, so he doesn't have to hold so long. Hey, David.
Well, it doesn't kill me, but you know, I'll tell you, I heard the caller talking about Trump's golfing, and have you ever seen the website called TrumpGolfCount.com?
No, I have not.
Well, you know, he gets, he gets $400,000 a year, if I remember right. That's the presidential salary, and so according to Trump golf count, he has spent $56,049,811 on golfing since, and this is the cost to the taxpayer. And then if you divide that by 400,000, he has overspent his salary by 140 times. he's wasted 140. You remember he tells us that he's not going to take his salary. He'll donate that as charity. Well, he has ripped us off by 140 times his salary on his golf trips.
By the way, now that you mention that too, to my knowledge, he's only handed over like one or two of his checks, hasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a notorious liar. He never pays anything. He sues anybody that, you know, if you imagine Trump Towers have to have their windows washed and the laundry service done and the plumbing taken care of and electrical and all of these things. So he's famous for not paying people. And then if they want their money, he'll settle out of court for his average is 30%.
No,
so
he
nobody ever really wants to work for Trump. And what's interesting to me is that all of these people that support him, you know, whether it's these right-wing talk show hosts or the columnists or all of these, you know, Alex Jones and all of these people, are they ever going to get paid for how they've sold out the country?
Okay. Well, and David, I appreciate the phone call there. Trump, of course, is a liar. This is who he is. And he's an incompetent boob, too. And he's starting to, and I'll tell you what, we'll get to tariffs. I know Gary wants to chime in about tariffs, but we'll get to that in a second. But, I mean, this is exactly who the guy was. The part which is funny is the guys that were so outraged about Barack Obama, he went golfing once. How much did he waste in taxpayer dollars? All of a sudden, they don't, you notice they don't say anything? And this is the point you have to make. And this is what you have to keep track of. When the next Democrat does get in there, and these guys come out there's like, well, he went on a vacation. Okay, where is all your outrage about Trump's vacations? Let me go. Why don't you show me that? If you can show me one tweet that you sent out about how Trump shouldn't have gone on these vacations when he was going on them, I will listen to you. Until that time, you can shut up. All right? And say it to them. Shut up. Because you're such a hypocrite, you're not even worth listening to. First of all, mention we are on AM 950 Radio on the Facebook page there. Go to AM 950 Radio on Facebook. You can watch the show there. Hello, it's video. It's radio for your eyes. And also, I do want to mention, tomorrow is the big VIP ticket giveaway, right, for the newsletter that we did?
That's when we will announce the winner of the VIP ticket giveaway. You got it.
When do they have to have the emails with you with the secret code?
So essentially, we're going to send out our final email with that secret code probably just after Mike's show. So,
right after.
So you got like an hour left to register pretty much.
Okay. Well, now that's good information. So yeah. Here's what, if you're not registered for the newsletter, if you're not, go to am950radio.com right now. Register for the newsletter. The newsletter, the last, we're going to put it out one more time at the end of Mike's show coming up here in a little more than an hour. You can get the newsletter. In the newsletter is a secret code word. Get the code word. Email that to us at comment at am950radio.com. Comment at am950radio.com. And you'll be entered in for a pair of VIP passes for the Blue State Ball, which is coming up on Saturday over at the Blaisdell in Minneapolis. We are going to have so much fun over there. The VIP portion goes from 5:30 to 7. The general admission, 7 until we get done. And you're going to have, like I said, a ton of fun. It's always great to see everyone out there. If you want to try to win tickets, get the newsletter. Look for the secret word. Email us at comment@am950radio.com. And then tomorrow we will give away those VIP passes. We'll do a drawing of the people that got the code word correct, and that person will win a pair of VIP
passes. And by the
way,
if you have any trouble registering for the newsletter on our website, you can just email comment@am950radio.com too and just say, register for me at the newsletter. And
gotcha.
We'll get you going.
And we'll get you, once again, that newsletter will be coming out a little bit later on. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break right now. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Tap Taste and Treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hello, I'm Dr. Vladimir von Surikov, the director and president of the Museum of Russian Art, which hosts the finest collection of Russian art in North America, as well as an award-winning gift shop, Izba. Unique gifts, artworks, and artisan-made products are sourced from artists and jewelers who use traditional Russian materials to create stunning pieces for purchase. Izba Gift Shop is on Facebook and Instagram. Our museum is at tmora.org. Visit Izba Gift Shop for that special gift you will cherish.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know that better energy is finally affordable. With All Energy Solar, Minnesota's number one local home solar provider, you can go solar with little or no money down. Qualified property owners could even see a return on investment in less than 1 year. Xcel Energy's Solar Rewards Incentive Program is available first come, first serve, and federal tax credits are available for a very limited time. Schedule your free solar assessment today. Visit allenergysolar.com. That's allenergysolar.com.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for about 3 to 5 inches of snow today with a high near 34. Tonight, another 2 to 4 inches with a low around 27. Tuesday, that snow ends with a high near 33. And Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high around 28. Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is one of the most beautiful fine dining restaurants in the Twin Cities that also features live music. Check out their lunch and happy hour specials Monday through Saturday, as well as their delicious Sunday brunch. Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club is situated by Moore Lake on Highway 65. Learn more at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Indeed, one of my favorite places in the metro area. Crooner's, great music out there. Fantastic food, too. Just a great place to go hang out and have fun. If you like big bands, you like small club music, they've got a lot of great lineups out there. Their website, I believe, and I'll put a link to this on the social media a little bit later on, they got a full lineup of music that's coming in over there. Just great nightclub music that is just a lot of fun. And we're starting to see, Crooner's kind of started it. It's bringing it back. Other places are starting to follow and copy their suit. It's people like this kind of music. Go to Crooner's. They have a great time up there. Great food, great music, dancing as well. It is Crooner's Lounge and Supper Club on Highway 65, just right there on Moore Lake in the beautiful north part of the metro. For more information, go to eatlocalminnesota.com. That's eatlocalminnesota.com. Gary is in Minneapolis. We wanted to chime in on, amongst other things, tariffs. Welcome on in, Gary.
Yeah, Trump promised, especially the people in the Rust Belt, that he'd bring back the jobs. So out of China, for the people of the Rust Belt, they got good news. The tariffs are coming back, so they'll get their sweatshop jobs now instead of in China.
No, they won't,
and,
actually.
It'll be scab labor. And the last government union, the last of the strong unions, they're gone just about. We'll see what those Coke judges, I predict what they're going to do. And the building trades, they're on the hit parade, I suppose, so it'll be scab labor probably. And the college kids, they're hundreds of thousands of debt. And the Rosie talks about building, he can't apply the ads. The government broke too because of his tax giveaways to the bosses. So they'll be private, the sewers, roads, and everything. So we have a lot to look forward to. Go team, go.
Indeed. Go team, go. Thanks, Gary. He won't be bringing back jobs for this reason. We talked about this before. The steel industry, most of the steel, the problem that you have with the steel industry is that, say you mine taconite in Minnesota, but you ship it to the forge over in China to convert it to steel. Well, technically, the way the trade laws are written, the minute that gets there and gets transferred and transformed into something else, it's no longer an American product, even though that it might be it might be a purchase that's been, you know, made by an American company. They ship over the taconite and they're shipping back steel. The fact that it gets processed and transferred over in China makes it then a foreign product. This is how the system is set up. And we talked about maybe 40 years ago you might be able to stop this and kind of revert it back. But most of the foundries that you have in this country that were mothballed, you know, 25, 30 years ago, they're not going to upgrade those. They would have to do a tremendous amount of work to upgrade those facilities to get them back working. And then they would have to hire people. And I can tell you right now, the steel workers, they're not going to accept all of a sudden a bunch of scab laborers. And so you're not going to be able to do this. These people love their money too much that they're not going to do it. They'll just pay the 25% tariff if it gets put in there. And that's going to that's just not going to, it's not going to increase anything. And it might increase some mining of the issue, but once again, the mining, if you ship it across into a foreign country to get processed, that's different. That's why we have that oil refinery. We have two of them on the Gulf of Mexico that actually are not there, even though they're in the United States. We have technically labeled them as non-U.S. territory, so that when we ship oil in there, it gets processed in an international facility, and henceforth, there's no tariffs that people have to pay the United States because, hey, I guess we care about the other countries more than we care about ourselves, mainly via the oil industry, who's paid us big bucks, our politicians big bucks, to ignore this issue. But, yeah, that's the deal. Trump today, he is such a hoot when it comes to Twitter lately, because on one side, he will say, oh, why didn't Obama stop me from colluding with the Russians? And then followed up with a tweet saying, and there was no Russian collusion. Okay. But, you know, here's one. This is good. This is all of a sudden he's decided two tweets is enough to wade in on trade policy. We have a large trade deficit with Mexico and Canada. NAFTA, which is under renegotiation right now, has been a bad deal for USA. Massive relocation of companies and jobs. Tariffs on steel and aluminum will only come off if new and fair NAFTA agreement is signed. Also, Canada must treat our farmers much better. Highly restrictive. Mexico must do more for stopping drugs pouring into the U.S. They have not done what it needs to be done. Millions of people addicted and dying. Okay, let's run this insanity. First of all, bad deal for U.S. Massive relocation of companies and jobs. They're not moving to Mexico and Canada. They're moving to Europe and China. Okay, you do understand that, right? They have a mailbox on Grand Turks. That's where they're based, at the Bahamas. They're not moving. The NAFTA countries are Canada and Mexico. Not a lot of businesses are moving down there. Have some of the jobs moved down there? Yes, they have. But you getting rid of NAFTA is sure as heck not going to bring those jobs back. Tariffs on steel and aluminum would come off. Now, are you saying, if this was a negotiation tactic for NAFTA, which is Canada, Mexico, and the United States, if this was a negotiation tactic for NAFTA, then why are you imposing a tariff over steel from all countries? Because are you saying that all countries get benefited if Canada kneels down and acquiesces to your demands? Are you saying that if Mexico does what you say they will, that Norway doesn't have to pay a steel tariff now? I don't quite understand where you're going with that. Here's where it gets even more loopier. Also, Canada must treat our farmers much better. Highly restrictive. Okay, you're not going to get the Canadians to sacrifice their own ag sector for the United States. That's just not going to happen. And they'll take the hit on steel, and they'll tear up NAFTA, because they're not going to. The reason why they have kept these rules in place is to prevent from the American companies coming in and undercutting their prices and hurting their own farmers. They're a country that needs to keep their farmers farming, and so they have protective rules in place, which Democrat and Republican presidents have had no problem with in NAFTA. But now all of a sudden he wants that to change, and this demand that Canada has to take all of our milk and all of this stuff and nothing else, I don't know. Second of all, this was a bad bluff, because you're not going to get Canada to jump on with that. Second of all, neither Canada or Mexico are going along with Trump, because then it will make them look weak. And in their own countries, Trump is hated, despised in their countries. And so these leaders are not going to say, see, I did what Trump told me to do. No, they're looking for ways to not do what Trump's told them to do. Then we get to the Mexico drug thing, which has nothing to do with, if you're upset about drug addiction, can I mention the fact that the calls coming from inside the House, look at the drug makers and the opiate crisis, okay? They themselves became the dealers when they created street legal heroin. And you guys all, and this is not just Democrat, Republican, this is everyone. You guys sat on your tails while they basically got people addicted to this stuff, and we had a massive crisis there. Drugs, North American Free Trade Act doesn't have to do with the drug trade coming across unless it's legal drugs that are being made and being brought across, which is not what you're implying, because you're an idiot. And so Trump doesn't even know what the hell he's talking about, but he's just taking that shot at Mexico just to take the shot at Mexico. At this point, and it was funny today because a lot of the CNBCs and the Fox Business News were all making this, see, he's willing to negotiate on tariffs. Okay, market better. If you look at the markets right now, it's a ton of money from the same group of people that is kind of getting cycled back through a system, that they're holding this money, and that if the markets start going down, they start pouring money into the markets, hopefully that they can pull the money back out again, because they want to make it seem like this is not a bad deal. This market's going to cavitate, because there's no way in the world, and the rest of the world's already saying we're going to put tariffs on American products. Yeah, this is going to be a massive mess. And at this point, I don't even think if you can't save NAFTA, and don't get me wrong, the United States is one country, it's one of the few countries on the planet that can actually is self-sustaining, that if we decided, and this is, Alicia made this point to me today, if we decided to be isolationists, we can get away with that, because we actually produce enough food and we produce this. But the problem is that we have been making more money by shipping our product overseas and being competitive in foreign markets. If you pull that back, The next thing that has to happen is the executives of these ag companies have got to take massive pay cuts. Let me ask you something. You think that's going to happen? You think the steel industry, who's been pocketing all the money because they figured out they can take the taconite out of the ground in Minnesota, ship it over to China, have it processed and shipped back here, you think they're going to take massive pay cuts in their executive class? Please. Please. The problem here is that the executives are going to demand that they get every damn dime, and if that means they kill the companies, they do. And Trump is the idiot savant who they worship, but now realizing this was one of the biggest mistakes they've ever made. Because this guy, he doesn't have the slightest damn idea what he's doing when it comes to international business. Gary is in Fridley. Let's get Gary's call. He's been on hold forever. Welcome on in, Gary.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Keep the good work up. I want to call on this union due issue that's going through the Supreme Court. Now, I've worked unions, and I worked at the Star Tribune. And what this is it's non-union employees that are working a shift like at the Star Tribune. They work like a Saturday night hand-stuffing papers. And because our mailroom is union, they had to pay a fee because our union could not refuse to represent them in case there was an issue. So they had to pay a fee in order to work that one day a week. They weren't full-time or part-time. They were just one-day hand stuffers to get the Bulldog, the early Sunday paper, and the other papers out. And it's going to be bad now because this idiot 51-vote Neil Gorsuch is going to be the vote that in this country that stops this, where all these workers will be able to work, and the union still has to represent them, but they will not have to pay a fee if they do not choose. It's terrible.
Oh, it is.
And Neil Gorsuch will be the vote that will end this procedure.
Well, and this is
not good for the union.
This is the whole point. And thanks, Gary. I appreciate the phone call. This is the whole point of them doing it. Is they held up that seat is because of that vote specifically. They were desperately hoping that they could put a guy in there that was going to kill off the labor unions. And the question that I have to ask you is this. How many more years of failing to follow through on the promise that if we get rid of this, you're going to make more money, is it going to take before Republican voters realize the Republicans have been lying to them for 50 years? How many more broken promises from the Republican Party will it take? How many more years? I mean, is it just abortion or gays? And they scream this and you basically, I don't need to get paid a livable wage anymore as long as I get this one issue taken care of. Is that really? I mean, that's all you've become. They are lying to you. For God's sakes, how many years of them not delivering on their promises will it take? For God's sakes, here in Minnesota, we had broadband. They kept screaming, broadband, broadband, broadband. That was their major issue, broadband, broadband, broadband. So finally, the Democrats say, okay, tell you what, we're going to get a deal, and it's $125 million. We're going to start putting broadband in the state. And the Republicans say, no, we'll do $20 million and only in areas we want it in. The Republicans themselves torpedoed broadband. They don't care about you. They only care about the 50 or so people that they grab their knee pads for that will write them a check. That is the only people these politicians on the Republican side care about. 50 or so people, and that's it. There isn't a constituent they won't gladly sell out for that campaign check, or because their kid's going to be graduating college soon. Hey, Bob, thanks for the campaign donation. By the way, can my son get a lobbying gig with your company? That'd be great. Take a look at these incestuous little family wreaths that they've got going on out there within these donation companies, and how many of the people own stock or have a kid who works there or is in a senior executive. This is a you scratch our back, we'll scratch yours thing. They don't care. They just don't care. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. When we come back, Peter Callaghan has actually a really good question that maybe we should start at in talking about a little bit more. Should we stop tipping altogether? Completely. Because that gets rid of that excuse of why people don't get paid a livable wage. So we'll talk about that. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Moe's Tax Service, family-owned and operated since 1971, providing a full spectrum of tax preparation and associated services. Think about it. Why would you take your most important financial information to a franchise operation with a cheap basic package that goes up dramatically once you're in the door? You can find out all you need to know about Moe's by visiting www.moestax.com. That's M-O-H-S-Tax.com. Or call them at 612-721-2026. Don't be a blockhead. Go to the professionals at Moe's Tax Service.
It may seem odd to be thinking about air conditioners in Minnesota in March, but it is better than waiting until the middle of July when you can fry a steak on your sidewalk. Fortunately, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is offering $1,000 or more off high-efficiency air conditioners until March 30th. Save money and spend the summer in cool and relaxing comfort. Visit standardheating.com for details and come visit us at the Minneapolis Home and Garden Show. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
Have you got your tickets yet for the Blue State Ball? Time is running out. They're going fast. Hi, it's Mike McEntee. I plan to be at the Blue State Ball on March 10th. Will you be there? Norman Goldman will be. So will Tom Hartman, who will be signing his books. So will our own Matt McNeil, Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Fry, gubernatorial candidate Rebecca Otto, Paul Metza from AM950's Wall of Power Radio Hour will be playing the music for a jamming good time. Food from D'Amico, Minnesota Brew drinks from Obibulous, you won't want to miss it. Mark your calendar now for March 10th at the Blaisdell. VIP reception with hors d'oeuvres and a hosted bar at 5:30 p.m. and general admission at 7 p.m. And then get set for some inspirational speeches from some great speakers. It's made possible with the help of our sponsors, Howling for Wolves, Common Good Books, and Northern Sun. So go to am950radio.com right now and get your tickets for the Blue State Ball. See you there.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205. Let me get Jeff and Prior Lake in here before I get to this interesting story from MinPost. Welcome on in, Jeff. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Matt. How are you? Great show as always, and thank God you're on the airwaves. But I agree with you 100%. The tough part is I think as Democrats, we have to keep the dialogue open with Republicans. We need to start talking to them. About 5 years ago, I was talking to a mail carrier, and I says, you know, how's everything going? She says, anybody but Obama. And I go, okay. And then she says, but I'm worried about, you know, my pension. And I says, well, you know, the Republicans are trying to take that away. And then she was worried about a couple of other things that I said, well, the Republicans are trying to take all that away. You really need to think about it. And over those 5 years, I got her to change her mind. So I really think now is the time. He's hurting. The Republican Party lies to their constituents, and Trump lied to all those people about making their lives better. And you're absolutely correct. We got to go to these guys and say, is your life approved? Is your life better? And if not, vote Democrat.
Well, and Jeff, it's interesting you brought that up, and thanks for the phone call. I had there's a mail carrier at Hopkins, a guy we're at the counter there I run into whenever I go in the post office there. And back when I started talking with him, he was a Republican. And, you know, he basically it was under the last part of Bush's term when they put that thing in with the mandatory pension funding for 75 years for the post office when they're trying to break it. He said, that is the dumbest thing. I mean, I have realized now the biggest mistake I've ever made was voting Republican. And I'm realizing now that everything I thought I knew about politics was wrong, that it was the Democrats that were trying to help me. And I just didn't want to believe that. And he's now a pretty staunch Democrat, too. So, but, you know, yeah, well, how many more years is it going to take of them? Remember, 20 years ago, they promised you're going to be a billionaire. That's what they promised. They promised you that you were going to do this. All you had to do is get rid of your unions, get rid of safety regulations, get rid of, you know, pay increases, get a living cost of living increases, get rid of the pensions, get rid of all of it, get rid of health care, get rid of all of it. And you'd be a billionaire. And how's that working out? Oh, you're getting paid less than you ever have. You have less benefits than you ever had. Well, you're an idiot because that's exactly what they said they were going to do. And you went along with it because you thought you were going to be a billionaire. How are you going to do that? Oh, that's right. It was never going to happen. That's just the way it is. So this is an interesting story. Peter Callahan from MinPost. The idea is, why are we allowing tipping anyway? Why do we have one class of worker, restaurant servers and bartenders, there are a few others in there too, receive so much of their pay not from a boss but directly from the customer? Why? Because, once again, when we talk about raising the minimum wage, one of the first things that comes up is, well, we got tip workers, they get tons of tips. and we've talked about this issue numerous times. Sure, if you're working the Friday night or Saturday night, but when you're working 3 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday, you're generally not rolling in the dough. And most of the people I've known who get tips, sure, the guys that work the fine restaurants, the Manny's, the Murray's, the Oceanaires, yeah, they're getting some nice tips at the end of the day. But the guys that are working a family restaurant, they're not. It's a ruse to basically fight against the minimum wage. And so the question is, do we get rid of tipping? If basically we can come back and say, we can put signs up in the door. We don't tip. We pay these people a livable wage. We do not tip. Do not feel like you are obligated to tip in any way. We don't want you doing that because we're going to pay them $15, $16, $17 an hour. And, because they're good servers and they get the job done, we're going to pay them that. So no tips. We'll make it, if you're thinking about tipping, just note that we're going to have to add a few dollars to the entrees and stuff to equal it out. But, if you think about it that way, technically you are tipping them. You're paying a little extra for your food and the money goes to them. Ta-da! It's actually an interesting argument. Because, and the problem is that I think that there's a lot of people that when you put the option on the table like that would say no because they get so much in tips that would actually, they feel as if that would be a pay cut. But I don't know. I don't know what you do there. I mean, I would say this, if you're a really good restaurant and a very high class restaurant that, is one of those $7,500 a plate places. If you're a good restaurant server, you're going to get a better salary if you had no tips because they don't want to have to train people in constantly. And if you go to these really nice restaurants, many of those people are professional servers. They are there for 30, 40 years, and that's their job, and they take great pride in that. So you don't want to lose that, so you'd pay them more. That's the theory I'd have, but I'll post that story up a little bit later on. Bill is in St. Paul. Let's get him in before we get to the end of the show. Welcome in, Bill.
Hi there, Matt. Love your show. Just a quick observation about people who voted for Trump. There's that old, old, old idea of you should know better. And what they should know better about is billionaires don't give a rat's rear about you. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. Thank you, Matt. Have a good day.
Well, like Bill, it's all you had to say, but it's the best thing. It's one of the better things you'll hear. They don't want you anywhere near them. But for them to be able to continue this obscene money grab that they have gotten, they need you to vote for the people that will allow them to continue to do the great money grab. And so what they do is they go on out there and they convince you, you're a sissy boy if you vote Democrat. Well, they're trying to give you a livable wage. They're trying to give you more benefits and health care. They're trying to actually make your society better. The Republicans, all they're doing is trying to give all that money back to the handful of billionaires. So, I've said this and I'll say this again. Wealth is wasted on the wealthy. I don't get these wealthy people. I don't. If you've got $50 million, $60 million, what are you doing? Go, you've won. You've won. Go live your life. You don't have to work another day of your life, let alone put on a suit and take a razor to your face every stinking day because it makes you feel like you're a wheeler dealer. No, it's about screwing us all over at the expense of them because little Billy, their great, 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 great grandkid, wants to drink, Cristal on a beach. Mike's up next. Have a good one. Till tomorrow. See ya.